to welcome all of them as invited for our meeting. Our meeting is a little bit hectic today because the issues of the BRRR, and therefore we will just engage with members and see how do we handle and approach this matter. You'd know normally in the past what we used to do, call the entities, one person, one representative, and the DG, but it looks like there wasn't, we didn't understand one another quite well at this moment. But also, it will just depend on issues that we needed to thresh out with the department. Possibly because we had a meeting after the BRRR members, it might not necessarily be pressing for us to have the department, but the assessment will be done during our process of evaluating the report and how do we go about as members. So at this point in time, I would like to draw attention to the agenda for the day and see if we want to retain it as it is, because I'm proposing just a swap of items. On our agenda, we had the matter I'm referring to, which is the consideration of the budgetary reviewal report, the formulation of the recommendations, not necessarily formulation, but we're going to look at the entire report and recommend a way forward as members. The second issue on our agenda is the briefing by the Public Service Sector Education and Training Authority on its integration on the Department on Higher Education and Training and its current relation with the Department of Public Safety and Administration. In our discussion with PCTA, we actually elaborated that we would have an overarching view in terms of the information they have to give us, and therefore their presentation, you to realize it won't be limited to the topic that is actually identified per agenda, and it will also be informed by the engagement of what members want to know from the CETA. So those are the two items. And the proposal that I'm putting forward is that we start with the presentation of the PCTA, so that if there are any other matters that we'd like to put within the recommendation of the BRRR, we can be able to take them on board thereafter. If that is accepted, Honourable Member, I would then like to move to the apologies and then proceed with the meeting. There is an apology from Honourable Nyakembe and Professor Msimang that was sent to the Secretary. I did notice two of the apologies as well for the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Along that, I think we can proceed. I've noticed that you also have a quorum from the members, since the BRRR process requires that. Okay. On that note, Honourable Members, can I then allow us to move to the first presentation, which is stated as second in terms of the agenda. Just to give a very brief background on this matter, we do have the chairperson and the CEO present with us from the TAC. I sometimes forget their names because they're called twin sister, you know. but it's the chairperson. It's the former commissioner for the Public Service Commission, and it's Goku. Yes. Who's present here, and the CEO is here. They will actually introduce themselves properly. But just to give a brief background, quite seriously, is that the PCTA had been one of the CETAs that were located under our oversight in terms of being located in the territory of the DPSA. And therefore, for a long time, we've interacted with the PCTA. There was a time where there was a proclamation of the CETAs, which actually took the PCTA to the higher education and training. We have been observing at this committee that movement, which we still need to interrogate. We've called various meetings. We do need to be assured that process possibly is taking place properly. We do have our own things there. That's why we have called the CETA, which we want to observe as the portfolio committee, which we you know, like we said to the department some other time, that we don't normally call everything that goes well and good. You know, that's, we believe that's part of the job, congratulations to the department. Thank you for doing their job. But when we have some bit of doubt, we then that's where we want to anchor our oversight and be comfortable that all is going well and good. Because we wouldn't like, as a committee, that there are things that are maybe hanging in limbo and under our watch, and therefore our responsibility then presumes. So in this instance, we have had a lot of presentations from the side of Palama, which is now transforming to be the new school of government. And we have had a lot of presentation of how aspects of PCTA would be taken on board. But we haven't heard from PCTA itself in terms of how that transition, you know, it's taking place. Because as much as we might accept that PCTA has gone to higher education, in terms of the CTAS, but we know that, you know, its home and location should have been left within the Department of Public Safety and Administration. So we will be doing our own observation assessment at the moment to see if collaboration, because by a part of it, collaboration does take place appropriately within the two departments. Synergy is taking place, which is something we really, honestly speaking, doubt a bit, not so much. We would also look into the comfort of seeing that program of CTAS integrated with the programs of the department will flow smoothly. And if there are issues, of course, as the committee would raise, but also there is PCTA itself, which is going to gear us on all those areas. Without preempting what we are envisaging from the presentation, I would like to really welcome and thank the PCTA for always being willing. Once we call them, we did last time invite them speedily into the strat plan, and they did come. That consistent invitation shows that there's quite a lot that we are still looking into, because part of our past recommendations do have issues that we recommended on the side of the PCTA, and therefore that's why we can't just let go, and I doubt if we will let go, actually. It looks like, as the committee would remain having the interest within the area of PCTA up till such time there's clarity, possibly. We did wish to have chairperson for higher education, but committees are really busy with the BRRR processes. So most committees are really engaged, and they already developed a program which made it very difficult for us to be with them. But we believe moving forward on areas where there's common interest on other committees, that's how we're going to do. Members would know that next week we'll be with COCTA in a meeting for the Municipal System Act, which we've been following up, and which we normally bring it on board together with the single public service. Even though we heard that the department might want to suggest differently, but as Parliament, even if the bill is in Cabinet, we do have the right as Parliament, as oversight, to be briefed in terms of how far is the process. Not necessarily that we would wait that it's becoming approved by Parliament. We don't really function that way. There is no rule that says we can only oversee things that are already approved by Parliament, or see any other area at any point when we are calling for it. And as members should remember, we've been deferring this matter consistently, and would really appreciate if the department can really cooperate with us on that matter. But nonetheless, it's a matter that we will objectively look into. It was planned for next week. I think it still is. But I'm just raising it in case there will be a need to do that. After our thorough discussion, it might be considered. Okay. Along that, honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, I would then request the PCTA to proceed. Mr. Kokuma Sheko will be leading. Ms. Kokuma Sheko, I'm not used to my Sheko. That's why I was getting a bit lost. Ms. Kokuma Sheko will be doing a leading, and they will tell us how they will put up the presentation. And over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, and thank you very much for inviting us to this meeting. I am accompanied here by the CEO, Ms. Shamira Huluman, and our Chief Operating Officer, Ms. Linda Lakrimaya. And obviously, as a matter of protocol, we have our principals here from the skills branch, from the Department of Higher Education and Training. Acknowledged. Mr. Mvalo, Maliviwe, and Mufarifer. Yes. We cannot appear here without them being here as our principals. Chairperson, the invitation requested us to talk to the issue of integration into the Department of Higher Education and Training. But as we were discussing to prepare for the presentation, we decided it might be desirable maybe to take the portfolio committee through the developments that we've gone through since the recertification of the public service and admin for PCTA. Thank you, Honourable Member. Our presentation will have the introduction, location of PCTA, the relationship of PCTA with DPSA, the IMTT process, the cabinet decision, challenges around the directive, impact on the PCTA performance, the National School of Government, and settling ground, and then also way forward. Chairperson, as indicated, the purpose of this meeting was to really update the Portfolio Committee on the developments since our certification last year, 1st of April 2012. And then we have, as you have indicated already, made several presentations regarding our local standing and also our relationship with Palama, obviously based on our different legislative mandates. Maybe we also need to start by saying that PCTA has been an unfunded entity since its establishment, as government departments do not contribute the 1% skill levels in terms of the Skills Development Act. Sorry, in terms of the Skills Levies Act, like all other employers. You would know that CETA revenue comes from the levies from their sector. And we operate within the public service. And in terms of the Skills Development Act, government departments are not mandated to pay levies to CETA. Hence, we are saying that we've been an unfunded mandate since our establishment. Location of PCTA. Legislatively, PCTA is established in terms of the Skills Development Act and listed as a Schedule 3A public entity, reporting to the Minister of Higher Education and Training as our executive authority. Our legislative mandate, as derived from the Skills Development Act, Skills Development Levies Act, this regulates how levies are to be paid and transferred, and also the Public Finance Management Act. And also our mandate is also derived from the National Skills Development Strategy. We are operating currently under the NSDS3. In November 2010, the Minister for Higher Education and Training announced the new NSDC3 landscape and recertified all CETAs for a period of 5 years, in line with the lifespan of the NSDS. However, PCTA was only recertified for a period of 1 year. This was March 31st, 2012. This was to allow for it to reposition itself and also to make sure that it's independent in its own functioning from DPSA as it was previously, and also so that a viable funding model needs to be finalized. I think in terms of the funding model, I will talk to the issue of the IMTT. PCTA has since been recertified up to the 31st of March 2016. Our our relationship with the Department of Public Service and Administration. PCTA, as you are well aware, functioned previously as a sub-program within DPSA. It assumed operational independence from DPSA as of April 2011. PCTA continues to receive a ring-fenced allocation from DPSA for administration or operational costs to the amount of $23 million. It participates in the GCTA, that is government forum, all the CETAs that function within government, and also public service sector committees, I mean skills committee, subcommittee, which is a subcommittee of the HRDC. And all of these are coordinated by DPSA. DPSA, as you are aware, is a critical employer stakeholder on the PCTA accounting authority. So all members that come from government departments, the minister is responsible, therefore. And then drive skills planning for the sector, analysis of skills, and also on the demand and supply side, we deal with joint projects on rural youth development and also career guidance. I think your setting can just adjust your setting for us. In recognizing that the PCTA was an unfunded mandate, the Minister of Higher Education and Training set up an IMTT, Interministerial Task Team, to look into how the CETA could be funded. This was a joint committee represented by the Department of Higher Education and Training, DPSA, and also National Treasury. The final outcome, or the final product, was a cabinet memo that introduced the payment of levies, 30% of the 1% of payroll by government departments to PCTA and also other government-related CETAs. The cabinet memo was formally supported by the Minister of Higher Education and Training, as well as the then Minister of local government. He says it's not local government. Cooperative governance and traditional affairs is the endorsement in writing. And then this was presented to Cabinet on the 3rd of November 2012. And as a result of the Cabinet decision, okay, maybe just to talk to the Cabinet decision, on the 23rd of November 2012, Cabinet took a decision on the utilization of the training budgets within the public service. Its prime intention was to indicate how these monies are to be spent in terms of education, training and the development of public servants. The directive was signed by the Minister of Public Service and Administration on the 30th of March 2013, which was to be effective from the 1st of April 2013. I think the CEO and the COO will talk to the distribution. I'll skip that. However, the directive provides for PCTA with a budget, or was supposed to provide PCTA with a budget of plus minus 100 million. Other beneficiaries would have been the CETAs operating also within government, your ETDP CETA, your SAS CETA, that is service security CETA, and then also HW CETA, and his health and welfare CETA. And they would have the amount that would go to them would be about 1 billion that would go into the skills development within the public service for qualification development, research, quality assurance, and as well as discretionary grant projects. Challenges around the directive. During June 2013, the Premier of the Western Cape challenged the legality of the directive. And subsequent to that, officials within the National Treasury issued letters to government departments requesting them to withhold payments to PCTA due to the uncertainty of the status of the directive and also questioning the capacity of PCTA. The letters would avail. I think they are also in the package. This obviously, Chairperson, caused huge reputational damage to PCTA as we were not able to you know, deliver on our APP and our other mandated responsibilities. Moreover, the lack of levy contribution from the government departments necessitated that we also review our annual performance plan. Okay, to date, PCTA has received 4.5 million from only some provincial departments because the provincial treasuries did not issue out the letters as the national treasury had done to national departments. So some government departments paid their levies to the public service CETA. However, we have since learned that those monies need to be returned back to the provincial departments. We are still awaiting written instruction on that. As a result, the accounting authority was forced to review its APP to provide for the ring fence allocation of 1.23 million that comes from the ring fence national treasury allocation. And also we received conditional NSF grant from NSF to run with some of our projects. The implication of this is that PCTA can only carry out projects that meet the needs of the NSDS. These are some of the projects, not all of them, that can be delivered on. Still trying to see if can Yes, Chairperson, as I was indicating, this obviously would have an impact on PCTA performance since government departments are not contributing. So we are not able to deliver fully on the mandate as indicated in the NSDS 3. The establishment of the National School of Government. On the 27th of August 2013, PCTA received a presentation from the advisory task team on the National School of Government. They proposed areas of collaboration between PCTA and the NSG, and also the migration of certain legislative functions to the NSG. We have the both presentations. We have responded in writing to the AETT. However, there has not been any conclusion on the issues of collaboration or any migration of the legislative functions of PCTA to the National School of Government. And as you are well aware, the National School of Government is launching on the 21st of October, which is next week, Monday. And we are eagerly also from our side awaiting any directive in terms of how we are going to collaborate. But that the existence of the National School of Government has got implications for the functioning of CETA and also in terms of its functioning. As they indicated to PCTA that they will be approaching National Treasury on the scope of PCTA and also on its financial model. PCTA is back to where it was in 2010, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, because we still do not have a viable funding model. As indicated, we are not able to fully deliver on our predetermined objectives. As a result, we also had to amend our APP. We rely on NSF funding on core business projects. only for the unemployed, rural and youth and artisan programs. We only can have limited impact on public service, education and training due to the limited resources as reflected in our sector skills plan. You know, in terms of the sector skills plan, there are programs that we commit ourselves to in terms of the supply and demand, you know, yes, and analysis, etc., research, you know, but unfortunately because of our limited funds, I mean the limited funds, we're not able to run with that. This obviously has a large impact on staff morale. We've had a high staff turnover, mainly because our remuneration packages cannot also meet the level of some of the sitters that they are able to offer their staff. Our staff establishment is based on the current, was based on the proposed funding model. However, because the funding model did not come through, some of the posts that we were envisaging, we had to freeze them. And then just finally, as a way forward, we request the portfolio committee to intervene in the following: to facilitate an urgent meeting between MPSA, MHT, and Minister of Finance. Maybe just to indicate also to honourable members, we will be meeting with the Minister of Higher Education and Training tomorrow, just to iron out some of the domestic issues that we are having within PCTA. And then also, we'd love for the portfolio committee to intervene in terms of finding out what the status of the directive is, especially because this was as a result of a cabinet decision. We also need clarity on PCTA's role in professionalizing the public service in relation to the National School of Government. And also, just finally, on the funding model to carry out our legislative mandate. I thank you, Chairperson and honorable members.
Okay, honourable members, that was a presentation by PCTA with all elements indicated, including some of the matters that we raised. Can I then get some responses to the presentation? Honourable Williams, Honourable Marais, Honourable Detoit, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I just want to welcome the presentation from PCTA. My question that I have relates around the legal challenge by the Premier of the Western Cape. I just want to know how far that is. Has there been an outcome of that? Because it seems that depending on the outcome of that legal challenge, then a way forward can be found, because fundamentally it seems to me that the PCTA is getting 23.3 million rand from the department to administer itself, and it can only the job that it's doing, the training it's doing, is coming from the National Skills Fund of 33.5 million rand, whereas it should be getting 0.3% of the total government payroll, but that's been stopped. And some departments or provincial departments have paid, but that money has to go back. So I just want to know some clarity on this case. This case, is it still in process? What's happening? Because it seems we won't be able to move forward until this case is resolved one way or the other. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Williams. Honourable Marais.
Thank you very much, Chair, and also for the presentation. I think what has been highlighted is what we have said right from the beginning. I remember the meeting that we've had in Johannesburg, Pretoria as well. We separate with PCTA and the whole argument of Palama versus PCTA. I would very much like to know whether it has been cleared out with the Minister of Higher Education and the Minister of Public Service and Administration what the role will be. Because I see that it seems like the meeting is with the Minister of Finance, if I get the idea right. But because it's quite important that we clear out the role of PCTA versus Palama in the public service, because we cannot have duplications, we cannot have unnecessary competition. Eventually, there's one objective, it's one target, and somehow it must be cleared out of what the respective roles of the two institutions will be. We cannot afford duplication in terms of costs, and also in terms of oversight. I mean, I think we understand the reason why PCTA is as a CETA under higher education, but then you can just as well have the argument for Palama or the School of Government. Now, if it's under public service and administration, then there must be serious consideration been given why PCTA should not be under our oversight and the Minister of Public Service and Administration. So I would very much like to get that information, that one just knows exactly where we stand in terms of the Minister of Higher Education and Public Service and Administration and what has been sorted out. Because we can get the support from the Minister of Finance, but if the other two hasn't sorted it out, then it doesn't help us at all. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honourable Murray. Honourable Vitoy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, what Honourable Williams brought to the surface there is also one of my concerns. If you could just add to it, what was the main objection that the Minister of the West, the Premier of the Western Cape had, and if there were any results yet? From what the question was from Honourable Williams, it seems that it's not been finalised. What stands here is subsequently issued the letters of, so it means, does it hang in the air, or has there been some court decision on this? So that's what I want to mean by the result. But we need to know also, if they can very short say, what was the main concern, because we have to apply our minds here what's going on. Excuse me if I say I'm a bit confused after this, because I'm trying to figure out how this all gels together with the School of Government and the training situation, because I pick up here on one of these pages way back, but this is now fast paging. It's difficult to apply your mind if you get this document only now, but it says here that on migration to the NSG, it says that the CETA does not conduct training. The CETA quality assures training and learning programs as delegated. This is a mandatory function of the CETA. CETA expects providers, including NSG, to conduct quality assurances on its training programs. Now we're talking about, it looks like it's overseeing quality assured training. So we need to see how this fits together, because how can we apply our minds on, would there be conflict, as it was alluded, would there be duplication, how does it fit in? I mean, if we have to apply our minds on this, we need to know exactly what you think your focus should be as a CETA, how you fit it in, what you would see, what is your ideal position. I wouldn't say it's like selling a product, but you have to position yourself here in the market, and what is the market? The market here is the role and the product and the customer. Okay, so who's the customer? The customer can be the your target market, the workers, the people that need to be trained, and also the decision makers, who are we and other people in the executive. So we need to get clear on this, otherwise we cannot apply our minds, in 10 minutes on an important matter. Thank you.
No, thank you. No, as a irregular visitor, I may have lost, I guess, a gap with my memory than the regulars. Chair, I have probably this question that bothers, two questions that bothers me. The one question is in relation to the Skills Levies Act. We have the act. It is very clear in terms of what need to happen in terms of government department with respect to the levy or the money that must be paid in. And all that, the management of that is managed by the state officials. All of them are state officials in different levels. You may even argue that sometimes in a different spheres of government. But all are directed by the Act to act in a particular way as the Act prescribes. So I'm trying to grapple with this this reluctancy. What is the main reason for this reluctance to comply? Now, what is not clear in my mind is this: the letter of directives. The letter of directives that has this now dispute with the provincial government of the Western Cape. But I think the first question for me is this issue of the levy, the Skills Levies Act. What are the challenges, the problem that we have with this? And I think maybe the executing authorities as well, maybe this question might not necessarily be answered fully by PCTA here. It requires the executing authority, because there must have been a reason why, and that some, if there are problems, how we act in resolving those problems. Now, the number two question that I have, Chair, it seems to me that, and this is also because of, it seems to me that there is a bit of disagreement. It doesn't seem to me that there is a free-flowing agreed perspective and in terms of the executive, how these things has to roll out and been implemented. Now, unless the executive themselves, the executing authorities, agree and then implement what they agreed and the officials are followed, you will have this problem. And as a committee, you will not be able to resolve it, because it hinges with the executing authorities. Unless you resolve that particular question, then you can't resolve it. Now, this is a BRRR process that we engage with. And probably it will need a different process in addressing that particular aspect. So the difficulty for me now on the way forward, because it's going to have to be the way forward issues as well, it's a budgetary problem now, which I think it will probably also have to, if we as a committee agree to take a particular process, has to involve the appropriation committee in terms of this, in terms of intervening of the budgetary process. So, Chair, if you help me, I want to understand the legal problems with the legal acts, the Skills Act. Number two, this can also be answered here. It seems to me that the directives was intervening where there is a vacuum. Now, I'm not sure whether that directive has not taken into account intergovernmental things to resolve the things quickly, rather than to resolve issues in terms of the dispute. I mean, if you were to take one government to court, there's going to be just kind of messy. There is an agreed process in the Constitution of how to deal with the issues that the government has got a problem in terms of second spheres, provincial spheres or national spheres. But if it's a policy, directives in terms of the policy agreed at the national, in terms of the Act that prevails, the National Act will prevail in this case. So I'm lost in this presentation and lost in the all other issues, but maybe the CETA could explain, or maybe you check to explain. If there were vacuum, the legal vacuum, which the directive was seeking to address, it may run into that particular problem where there is now a dispute, because it seems as a functional encroachment into functional area. But if it's a legal vacuum in terms of the act, is there anything that at the national level need to be done in order to close that particular vacuum, in order for all government departments and spheres to march forward in the same way? So those are the questions for me that I'm posing. But it's fairly taking us back in terms of what we'd hope to have in PCETA and what we now don't have. So let me leave it there, and I'll wait to hear the responses on these complex questions.
Focusing on what Honorable Ramatlakane has said, if members have noticed, I've actually requested Honorable Ramatlakane to speak without, he didn't raise the hand. So it's a punishment for casual attendance. So as a result, he has to say something. So it will be like that. Immediately disappear, you must know when you come back, you definitely have to say something. And it was real good. I think what you are raising, the member is raising, it's very critical, because we do need to raise clarity. I'm actually responding because there was also a challenge on our side in terms of how do we look at this before even the PCETA starts to respond. Possibly what we need to put across is that we identify there might be a problem. That's why we call the PCETA actually. So it means we're right as the committee that let's have the PCETA and find out what is happening. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, honestly speaking, I don't expect the CETA to respond to these issues, the PCETA, to respond to these issues. I have already cleared it in my mind that we need the two ministers, the Minister for Higher Education and Training and the Minister for Public Service and Administration, to be here. And in my opinion, this should be as early as if the next week, because I'm still going to talk to the minister about the issue of our plans for the fourth term and what we intend and why we want to go that way. I'm still going to talk to the minister about that as soon as we clear what happens next week. If, for instance, there's an agreement to defer any other matter, the PCETA matter would have to come back. But also, it's going to be the third thing is that it's important for us, you know, because it's no longer falling within our area in terms of PRRR, but we need to clear and understand both many things that to deal with are linked to this. It's important for us to see what higher education has captured in terms of the PCETA for that synergy. And also then that relates to the last matter, the other matter that Honorable Ramatlakane has raised of the Appropriations Select Committee. And therefore we will deal with it, that because it's a little bit complex and we're at a process where we're just rounding up. And we do not want to round up something that is just not there, neither here nor there. We have vested interest in this matter, it's critical, there is also a matter that we do in terms of a report following up from, because we did have recommendations in the past, and we could see when the PCETA did a presentation that it has gone back to 2010. Therefore, it means it has gone back to part of the recommendations that we have on board. We need to look at those recommendations and repeal those recommendations and start to argue about recommendations that are never focused on, because that's one of the arguments we wanted to put across as well as members of parliament in terms of the PRRR process, So I think those come together. I wouldn't really burden them heavily, but would like to get clarity where they can be able to provide clarity. But if members agree, we need quite a lot, and possibly we would allocate space for that. We can start earlier as the committee next week, maybe 9 o'clock, allow also space for PCETA to return. We need a return where the ministers both are responding to all the matters that are put across. And well, for me, I think it's very good for us as the portfolio committee to have identified that we were spot on. So let me allow the PCTA to go through issues that requires a clarity, and thereafter we can agree how to move forward.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and also Honourable Members. I think maybe to express appreciation in the manner in which you would want to proceed with the issues that we have raised, because I think precisely that is how we had raised them, especially in the way forward, that we really seek intervention from the Portfolio Committee. And maybe also to indicate that we have attempted previously to have a joint meeting between the Minister of Higher Education and Training and the Minister of Public Service and Administration. I want to believe between the two ministers, they are talking to each other. Hence, we are having a meeting with the Minister of Higher Education and Training tomorrow. We might get some feedback. And then previously, we were called in here by the Minister of Public Service and Administration. Unfortunately, she was called in for caucus, so she did not attend. We had a session with the advisors where we really just went through almost the same things that we are going through with you today. So there was no clarity or any resolve on the issues that we have raised. And then with regard to the issues raised by the Western Cape in the letter to the Minister of Higher Education and Training, they are mainly questioning the authority of the Minister in sending out the directive, you know, calling upon government departments to contribute the transfer levy to PCTA. Yes. I think that the CEO will come in later. And then also she was requesting a meeting with the Minister of Public Service and Administration. We are not aware whether they've had a meeting with the Minister, and also we are not aware if they have their own legal opinion. Those are the issues that we would have clarified to the Minister if we had had a meeting with them. And the reason why we also seek a meeting with the Minister of Finance, a tripartite meeting with the Minister of Finance, Higher Education and Training, and Public Service and Administration, is that we also resolve the issue of the letter that came from the officials of National Treasury instructing government departments not to do the transfer to PCTA, also based on the capacity of PCTA. And obviously PCTA cannot function like other CTAs are functioning because of the funding that it receives. We are not able to increase our staff establishment, for example. We are not able to perform at the level that we are supposed to in terms of the NLTS 3 because of the challenges that we have raised. So those are the issues that the capacity issue would have raised by the National Treasury. And in terms of the overlapping functions, I will hand over to the CEO and the COO if she has anything to add.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. I think just to add on to what Chairperson said with regard to the legal challenge by the Western Cape, we actually have not had privy of the legal opinion itself. But apparently, one of the other challenges was the issue of the timing. I think government departments sort of had a complaint that the cabinet decision came a bit late, and the directive was also, it was in November last year, where post the MTF processes. So it was more around the timing and the fact that their departmental budgets had already been committed. So that was also another issue that the Western Cape had raised. But I think, Chair, it'll be very important for me to clarify this role issue, because I think we've had these discussions previously in the Portfolio Committee around what role PCTA plays vis-a-vis PLAMA, and we tried to clarify the roles between DPSA as the policy custodian of HRD or training and development in the public service, and where PCTA is the authority in terms of Skills Development Act that does the necessary research around what are the needs, that means your demand side analysis, and how you match then your supply side, which is your training provision. And then PALAMA, or the new school of government, actually is the provider, which PCTA as a sector education training authority is delegated specific functions from SAQWA and the quality councils to accredit training providers. So basically PCTA will play an oversight of PALAMA or the new school of government in a way to make sure that they are keeping the standards to a certain level as the NQF Act would want it to, that, you know, it's accredited, the learning programs that they are offering are accredited. I mean, I think we all know about the processes of assessment and moderation of learner, you know, learner exams and all of that kind of issue. So we end up playing that role where we play the independent quality assurance function. But more so, the CETA's main function is the issue of the development of a sector skills plan. Now, the situation in the public service is that WSPs, or the workplace skills plans, are being developed by departments and submitted to the relevant CETAs. And they are, must make the point that there is about 13 CETAs that operate within the public service sector, not only PCTA. And in the WSP process, that is where we would analyze and supported by other credible research on what is actually the needs in the public service and what then must we focus on. So that research role lies actually with the CETAs legislatively. But in the proposal by the advisory committee on the new school of government, and that's why we thought it would be prudent to include in the PAC the presentation they had made to PCTA and our official response, which I think one of the honourable members was quoting from, where they are requesting that certain of the functions migrate to the new school of government. And one of those functions, Chair, is the issue of sector skills planning. They believe that as the new school of government, basically the whole model is taking your demand side, your supply side, your norms and standards, and everything concerning skills development for the public service. They are the proposal is to be placing it under one umbrella, which is the National School of Government. While the system, the legislation, which is the Skills Development Act, has a different kind of rollout methodology in the sense that it says you have sector training authorities which plays oversight in a particular sector on what whether the training provision is responding to the sector skills plan itself, you know, in identifying what the needs are. So that is definitely the role that CETAs play. So I think there's always been this confusion that CETAs are actually training providers, and that is an incorrect assertion in terms of legislation. You know, CETAs are bodies that bring together the stakeholders, employers and organized labor, in the labor market in different sectors to drive skills development for that particular sector. So the role that CETAs play is more a facilitation and a coordination role, and ensures that, you know, quality training provision happens in line with the NQF and Quality Council's frameworks. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just thank you very much for that? I think that confirms the confusion with everybody, and exactly the role of PALAMA and PCTA, and exactly I think the reason why we ask these questions of who's going to do what, because everything that you've mentioned, we've basically heard that PALAMA is saying, or the School of Government saying, that is actually what they're supposed to do. So it is a bit confusion, and I think it's very important that we must try to iron out, you know, between the the executives of really what is the objective, because you know, we can sit around and we can talk about and we can try to justify that, but eventually if it doesn't, and I'm quite convinced that National Treasury will not put money behind something that is going to be duplications. So let's rather do our homework properly and find out exactly, because you will remember that in the past some of our criticism towards Palama was exactly this facilitation that they've done, which is exactly what PCTA has done. And I remember at our meeting, our oversight meeting in Pretoria, it was exactly what we have identified. And to a large extent we have said at that stage, should we not have only PCTA and not Palama, or only Palama and not PCTA? And I think, you know, but I think there are other, in my opinion, what I assume at this stage and pick up is that School of Government will probably, and I say probably because we don't know yet, will give you more senior staff, but more, not necessarily all your technical stuff on various levels, which is probably where the PCTA can come in, but at least, you know, we must iron out who's servicing which part of the service, you know, the public service, and which categories and what jobs or whatever the case may be. But I mean, currently it's very important that between higher education and public service and administration, that must be sorted out, because you know, we're actually getting nowhere if we continue between the two of them.
I think there is it's one other matter that the member is raising, maybe before I go to Honourable Williams. We do need to also clear our understanding in terms of those areas, so that, you know, in the midst of the PCTA and our dissatisfaction in terms of where it's located, we don't really inflate it with the presentation that we've done. And I'll just explain what is my understanding. My understanding is that, you know, like they're explaining, the PCTA is not like another school, but it works the area of quality assurance. It has a particular role that does link. That's why when we always talk, we say that collaboration, which sometimes we feel it's not happening, as the portfolio committee always complain about it. And therefore, yes, our understanding was that PCTA should have a particular role on Palama or the new School of Government. And when they explain, they understand what is it that the PCTA has to do. And even PCTA does say they consulted them, but they just talk that this is what we want to do. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, like, it's something that we've proved ourselves as a portfolio committee. The School of Government is not ready. That's what we're saying. So part of it is just a reflection of, you know, moving. It's a transformation process from Palama into that School of Government, so that we don't really put a picture that there is this complete disorganization. Not complete disorganization, but there's a lack in terms of the role that the PCTA has to play, the interaction that's taking place on the site. They don't finalize processes, so things are hanging, you know, but they know what is it that they have to do. And therefore, that is why, as a portfolio committee, we were emphasizing that we don't want the situation when we say Palama is collapsing completely or setting the new School of Government. But we're actually saying Palama is now transforming into the School of Government. It makes sense. Then all those things are brought together. They're brought along, you know, because we even concluded and accepted that is a very good, innovative concept of the School of Government, which anybody can support. You know, would love the country to have that. And if we're moving towards that direction, we really want to support that kind of a direction. The issue that we still think it's a battle is the budget for the School of Government. And well, our intention would be moving forward that there must be a clear plan, like the members have been saying, a clear plan of the movement and a clear proposal for the budget. That's what we're saying. So the only area we wanted to satisfy ourselves is to find out if, yes, PCTA is brought on board the same way as it was explained. And we're discovering now that, yes, there's a weakness. And that is why then they can't respond to that, because they don't have, you can see that there was no interaction with the PCTA. And therefore, PCTA does not have information. There are also legal issues that are involved, which therefore means for us that we need the main drivers which are the executive authorities, both of them, to give us answers. That's where we are. You know, we can't pick up interest. We are enticed into this wonderful concept. We want it to work, and part of it, with our oversight role, we'll enforce it to really go the correct direction. You know, because we don't want to be seen throwing the bus with the child. You know, that's not our intention. But at the same time, we can feel if something is not so well. And yes, this is part of proving that then let's oil up everything and make sure that it functions properly. Honorable William.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want a little bit of clarity on the relationship between the PCTA and the departments. That's the Department of Higher Education and Training, and also the Department of Public Service and Administration. I think it was pre 2009, the executive authority of the PCTA was DOL, the Department of Labor, and then it moved from the Department of Labor to the Department of Higher Education and Training. So the relationship between PCTA and the DPS, Department of Public Service and Administration, hasn't actually changed at all. I just want clarity on that. In the move from DOL to Higher Education and Training, has there been any move in how PCTA and Department of Public Service and Administration relate to one another? I mean, so I just want to know, when they moved from DOL to Higher Education, did the relationship between PCTA and public service change? Was there any change in that relationship at all through that process of moving from changing the authority? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable William. Yeah, Honorable
Joy. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. There was some clarity given on the when words are used such as demand side, supply side, the norms and standards, and then what I particularly I'm glad to hear is that it's the accreditation of the programs and the independent of quality assurance. It's always been a problem. If you are not independent, you can easily, the school of government can go off the rails in the end. And, you know, that was a question I don't think either I wanted to ask the question or I did at the workshop, as was that, yes, I did ask the question. I didn't think I got an answer. Is that how do they assure that the training that they give and the examinations that they have are going to be, I don't know if you remember that was a concern. How is it going how are they going to be sure, the School of Government, that it's going to be on a high standard? Now, I hear this, I can see now what's going on. What we have here is a classic example of where you draw the line between specialization and integration. Okay? So if the CETA is going to CETA is going to specialize in this certain role, and the integration within the school of government of this kind of role does not, there must be a stop somewhere. It can't work, you know. So there must be, we have this importance of independence and this specialization that we need to focus on. Now, that gives me the next building block on this, and that is the legal framework and legislation itself. It's clear that what the lady said is that, sorry, I forgot your name, is that legally, the legislation clearly defines what needs to be done. Okay? Now, how I see this moving forward, Chairperson, is that we have to take... we can't keep up with all the legislation. It would be helpful if in the next informations or engagement, we could have a few phrases or few sections of the legislation just added, so we can just interpret it. And from that, I think that is the basis for where CETA must define their role. When they position themselves in this specialization role, okay, they must define it according to the legislation. Now on the other flip side of the coin, if that doesn't give a clear indication, or there's still some uncertainty, then legislation should be amended if you're moving from specialization to integration, obviously then it must be amended. But now this brings us another problem. Legislation takes time, doesn't it? That's a problem. So we're sitting here hanging in the air. We've got to have decisions. There's got to be a budget. You've got to have skilled people being retained, but you can't have them sit there for 3 years and just sit there and wait. Am I right? I mean, everybody wants to go to work and feel that they've given their pound of flesh, so to speak. So we have this problem. We have a problem that will become a problem of motivation in the end. You can't have people running away and you're losing the skills as well. The other thing that we need to consider, Chairperson, and maybe they can give comments on that, is a lot of our things that we're doing now is tied to the Palama Bill. Palama and the other things are tied to the PAM Bill. Am I right? So this, but the PAM Bill we know with the sittings and the time, I think it's going to run into 2015. Because there might be constitutional challenges. You know, and if we look at the when we finish with the next election, we've got the budget going, and then it's a holiday again, and a holiday again, and so it goes on. There's a holiday again. It's December next year. So when are we going to go through this bill? I mean, it's not a sitting of 10 sittings. It's more than that. I mean, it's a sitting a page almost the way I went through it in the beginning. So we're going to have a big problem on having things hanging in the air if it's tied to the PAM Bill. So that's why I say we've got to look at what is the legislation now, and CETA must see it and define it for us, because if they want to move forward now with the minister and everybody, we've got to know what is their legal requirements according to law, the legislation, and if it needs to be amended, then we're really getting into muddy waters, aren't we? So it is. It's not just having meetings and have a talk. It's a very tricky situation. Thank you.
Okay. Two things. Most of these things, most have been undergoing some discussions. They require an engagement so that we were actually in par in terms of where we are. The issue of the amendment of the legislation, I agree with you. I remember when there was a presentation of Palama for the School of Government, we did indicate, the members did raise that, if the issue, there is a legislation that has to be drawn, it needs to be brought speedily before Parliament, which is quite correct. But there's also another matter when we look at it at the moment, if they have to implement at the moment. The role of integration, where they put, you know, because they might not necessarily wait, you know, that period, but they can utilize the existence of higher education and training, you know, and the laws that are there in order to move on. That is why then we were fussy as the committee that have you brought everyone on board? That's why our complaint is that one, so that when they bring everyone on board, other things fall in place. You know, it's like, you know, it's just that sometimes departments do get scared of just working together from our side of oversight. That's what we've noticed. And sometimes that collaboration can make them much more efficient. Hence, we force the issue of come together, integrate, because at the moment they can be able to function. If they, you know, higher education has already had accreditation of lecturers, etc., etc. And therefore, if they utilize that interaction, it definitely can assist. That is why, for us, and the issue of PCTA, this location and you know, this neither here nor there becomes a big one, because it shows that they haven't brought everyone on board. They haven't done a good job, because those questions could have been responded much easier from the committee side to raise all those questions. And therefore, the fact that we are not seeing comfort in terms of their location properly, that's why we then panic about them. We think it's much faster than, the thinking is faster than what can be implemented. The other issue is the issue of the PAM Bill, which committee members will remember that every time we put the presentation by the department on this matter, and we defer it all the time. You know, we've been deferring it. And if we remember very well, we were promised that it should finish by July. That was a commitment done by the department, not us. The department said July of of 2013, they will have, it's not us, the department, they will have presented it to us, and it would have, you know, would have processed it, and they haven't done it. But now, on our oversight, you know, because we stick to the dates that were given by the department, otherwise there's no point for us going to BRRR strategic planning, because then we get dates which can be deferred at a willy-nilly. It's a problem for Parliament if we continue to accept it. We have also the PAM bill that was supposed, on the committee meeting that were approved, sent to the department. We did have a PAM coming next week. That's why I need an engagement with the minister on this matter, you know, before we actually deal with anything. Because there is no way that, you know, there is a cabinet that is having its business as an executive. It's completely independent from us, and it doesn't work based on what we want, the same way as Parliament. You know, we have our own the role, responsibilities, and constitutionally, our mandate is not that one. That is linked to cabinet, that cabinet must do this first, and then we'll follow after. There's nothing like that. In terms of our program, we strictly have the PEM bill coming next week. Even if that bill is not ready, we want to know what's the progress. We need to do appropriate oversight. That is why we even called COCTA. So it's one matter that I need to discuss. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then we fall to what Honorable Duarte is correctly saying, that the bill might be processed some years to come, you know, 2014, somewhere in between. Because we also then miss all the targets, and we don't mind. And we know we're from the strategic, the BRRR, where we're actually saying that departments don't meet the targets. We are too loose in terms of oversight. Maybe we need to tighten our oversight, because it's our responsibility. No one's but ours. And therefore, my discussion, I'm actually initiating a discussion that I'm going to discuss with the minister to clear this matter, which I will come and give the members feedback. If members remember, we've deferred this matter twice. If we defer it again now, it will be for the fourth time. And I don't really think it's correct to keep deferring, you know, based on, it will depend what reasons and how is the department now trained. At the same time, we don't want to have meetings for the sake of having them. You know, it is important for us to assess the need. You know, because then if we force a meeting which can never have any fruits, it's also meaningless. But we'll actually deal with the balance. We'll get worried, but if then there can be meetings that can be deferred based on another, you know, maybe cabinet or something else, that can worry us a lot. But I'm actually putting this so that members notice that once we have changed, we send you a letter, or an agenda that is different, you'd know. Or if we stick to that, you'd have. Then it is important for me to just discuss with the department, particularly with the minister, and get an understanding of how to deal with that. You know, because, yes, correctly so, we do have a mandate also as this fourth parliament to deliver on things that we've committed ourselves to deal with. Part of it is this PEM bill. We definitely have to deliver on that, you know, and if we don't, we must have reasons. At the moment, we don't, because we don't know why, you know. So, but let's leave it to the discussion that I will have with the minister, and I will inform the members appropriately for the next week's meeting. But with this one, you know, even if with this one, we need clarity immediately. We need the two ministers to clear us, and therefore, we would, even if we still have that meeting, the two ministers who can take close to just 30 minutes of our earlier time, where we just get clarity on this matter, then we move on other matters. You know, we no longer have time. We can't defer everything now. You know, we need to just tighten all other work, and we need to make a sensible and reasonable report of the BRRR process. Okay. Was there another hand? There was? Oh, we'll appreciate that hand, yeah. Honorable Ramachaka.
I agree fully with what you just said. There is a slight call on settling sand in the presentation by CETA. I think it's slide 10. I think when I read the slides, fairly worrying slide. I mean, when we did an oversight, some of these issues we were told them, we in fact captured them in our report. We made those recommendations going forward. So I think the in your interaction with the ministers, this fairly serious stuff that is suggested on the slides, because things are falling apart basically. They're just falling apart. So it will be fairly unacceptable that the executing authority allows the very agents under their watch to fall apart whilst they are watching it, because there's some reasons they are not able to deal with the issue. I mean, it is no secret issue that there has been issues around the CETAs and the authority around where they account. So that's very clear, and the results of that is what you read in this slide here, this unsettling sense. Serious quoted language, but it tells the message. So as Parliament, as an oversight body, we should express unhappiness about some of these things, because it's not new stuff. So when you really engage the ministers, it will be good that they come before the committee. Because I remember some time back, we had this discussion with the Minister of Higher Education when there was a change of responsibility. And then we also had a discussion with the Minister of Public Service and Administration. Both you could hear there's nuances about these issues. But those nuances are written in this particular slide. So I just wanted to register that, Chair, to say perhaps there is an agency. Because when you do the adjustment of the annual performance plans, remember the annual performance plans are part of what is linked to the budget, which has been adopted in the House, which suggests that you are going to deliver certain goods. Now, halfway down the way, you just come because of some reason, the adjustment happens, as it happened today here in terms of what we've been told. That is not acceptable, because it is as a result of the failure by another independent arm to do what it promised it will do to Parliament, because all this has happened because the authority, the executing authority, says this is what we're going to do. Already we know the model. Now, when you talk about the funding model, that we need to decide what funding model we... and we can't decide that model. The executing authority must be able to say, this is our model. Now, if we're going forward to have a discussion about the funding model to carry out the legislative mandate, surely there is a requirement in terms of compliance with the legislation, which has a consequential effect if the compliance has not happened. So I just want to raise that to say these words here, this coded language, has some kind of implication. And in fact, it's been brought to our attention now that the things are falling apart. And we need to say we would not accept that things fall apart when we are watching it. That is why there is an agency that we have this conversation with the two ministers responsible to this portfolio. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, maybe on that one, Honourable Ramatlakane, the agreement we are taking is that for this matter, the executive authorities must come to the portfolio committee. What I will discuss with the minister is the program for, you know, if there are things that you need to change. But a commitment is done in this one. It's the committee that that needs to be cleared in terms of what happens here. So that's why we say we might slot it 30 minutes before any meeting that comes, but we've already reached that agreement. It should be that way. But in terms of the program, that's when I'll get back to the committee that do we still proceed with PEM bill next week, or what do we do? So that's where I'll get back to the committee. And if maybe there's a change, we take fully this matter only, that will be so. Or we take this matter for 30 minutes, proceed with our program. That's what I'll get back to the committee. But it doesn't go away, and it's urgent. It must be next week. You know, it will be accommodated next week, whether we have, we still proceed with other matters or not. But this matter should be a priority. We'll start with it. A peace eater?
Well, Chairperson, I think we appreciate the manner in which you have responded to our presentation, and we are very grateful for the route you are planning to take. But just in terms of our own programming next week, the 23rd and the 24th, we have a strategic planning session. So just to alert you as you're planning and programming, but if need be, because obviously we cannot have a strat plan without knowing where we are located, you know, et cetera, in terms of the funding. We know where we are located, but I mean in terms of the funding, et cetera. So I think we will be guided by yourself. Thank you.
Okay, no, thanks for that. You also immediately said strategic planning. To me, it sends, the plans, you know, your plan might not be clear, frankly, you know, until you clear this. I believe, even for the PC, the priority is this one, before planning, you know, so that you plan based on knowing where you are standing. Okay. No, I think can we rest this matter for now at this level that we are attending it until the next week when the ministers give us responses in terms of where PCTA is. It's a program that Zola will already start to work on it and indicate that based on the meeting that we had, there is an urgent need to have both the executive authorities appearing before committee to clear the matter, which links also to the processes that we've been undergoing as people for us. Okay? Thank you very much, PCTA. Can I give a 5 minutes break? I need to see whether we still know time. You know, in the strat plan, we were measuring time so well. So let me say 10 minutes to at least be reasonable. And then we come back and proceed with the Beatable Art process. Thanks, Honorable Members. Thanks, PCTA. Can I, in the meantime, all others are still going out, raise a very critical matter that I could not raise, Honourable Members, of the outcome 12, which talks of citizen participation, which I've boggled the PCTA about. But, you know, in the state in which they are in, I don't really think that it can even be carried until it is cleared. But the outcome 12, while the PCTA is going away, they need to realize that they do have a mandate in terms of the sector skills plan to deliver on citizen training. And I'll just leave it at that. We'll see how does it get integrated in the next week once we meet with the executive authority. Thank you.
He forgets his friends.
How?
Now he's a big boy.
No, not in this.
He doesn't want to know us anymore.
In this planet.
Yeah, you doing well?
I'm okay.
Yeah, okay. Pleased with your job and what you do?
Yeah. I'm
and the progress that you make?
A lot of progress.
Fantastic.
A lot of progress.
Good. Good to see young people moving up the ladder, not jumping from one to the other, moving up, progressing, improving yourself. That's good. And that is institutional knowledge that you're picking up. You know, I mean, there's this one member of ours who has been Pretorius.
Yeah.
He worked, I think, here and in the province as a secretary of parliament. I think so. So he's got extensive knowledge. Now he's deputy speaker of the Western Cape, and he was brought from here back to there. Because the institutional knowledge that you pick up of how does it work, what is the issue, how do you, you know, take these things on, what is the advice? Not in terms of the popular advice, because in terms of what he's now doing, he says, no, forget about what you want, Madam Premier. This is the right way to do it. So that is institutional knowledge, and that is distinct from Parliament.
Thank you, sir. So
good.
Thank you.
On.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm